if you see little thumbs coming. If you don't see any thumbs coming, it's probably not life.
Not yet.
No?
It says
life. I know, it always says life. I think you waited too long. You have your phone?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Got a phone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, we're good. We have a double parsha this week, Bahar and Bukhukoise. We're going to pick up this morning's lesson from the beginning of Sheni, the second reading, Kishahim Bukhubarim, as they are conjoined. The parshiot are conjoined, which is the case this week. Now, Parshas Bahar begins with a discussion of Shemitah. Shemitah, of course, is the mitzvah in which Hashem tells us that the Holy Land of Israel must have a Shabbat, must have a total cessation of any kind of work, and this has to happen once every 7 years. So for a full year, there is no planting, there's no harvesting, and of course, there's no commerce. Chapter 25, verse 19. The Torah also talks to us about doing business honestly because we're introduced to the Jubilee. And the Jubilee was a time in Israel where everything experienced a hard reset. In some way, people say the economy still experiences a Jubilee. It's like a crash every 50 years or so. Everything gets rearranged. People make money, people lose money. That's what they say. That's what the experts say every 50, 60 years. But the Torah actually says every 50 years, all the fields go back to the original owner. Everything returns to its ancestral beginnings. And the way we came into Eretz Yisrael, that's what we're supposed to continue to live in our tribal formation and in our various family designations, family estates. At any rate, the Torah then tells us that that Jubilee is also observed as a Shemitah. So we have 7 years, 6 years are counted, the seventh year, the fields lie fallow. 6 years are counted, the seventh year, the fields lie fallow. And that happens seven times. And after we have 6 years counted, and a seventh Shemitah, and after we have that process seven times, which is a total of 49 years, then subsequent to that, the 50th year is also going to be a year of cessation, and that's called the year of Shemitah. And when we have a year of Yovel, that means that just like on Shemitah, the fields aren't worked on the year of Yovel either. And not only this, but those who are in extended periods of indentured labor go free, and the fields return, and etc., etc. So the Torah says now, after telling us all of this, and after talking to us about the need to do business honestly, which means that if a person sold a field, it's basically a big lease. That's all it is. Maximum is a 49-year lease. Can't be more than that. So you always have to have the amount of years. How many years did you sell it for? And you have to amortize the amount of years over the sale. And we're talking not about downtown real estate. We're talking here about agriculture and fields, orchards, and so on and so forth. The Torah finishes off the first double reading with the words, V'asisim es chukaisai, you'll do my statutes, mishpatai, my ordinances, tishmeru, you'll keep, v'asisim ha'isim, you'll do them, v'yishavtem al ha'aretz lavetach, and you will dwell on the land securely. Then the Torah comes along and says, v'nos na ha'aretz pirya, the earth will give its produce, v'achaltem l'seiva, you will eat to satiation. V'yishavtem levetach aleha, and you will be able to dwell peacefully upon her meaning the land. So the obvious question in this pasuk is, what's the link between the first half of the verse and the second half of the verse? The pasuk begins with a statement that says, v'nosna aretz yavula, and if the land is going to have lots of produce, so we're going to have economic boom. That's great. So why do you have to say v'yishavtem levetach? What are we talking about being peace, being having peace and being secure? What's the connection? This is a bracha of economic prosperity. It's not a bracha of self-defense. North Korea is a very well-defended country. People are starving, but they have a lot of weapons. So, like, one is not necessarily linked to the other. You could have economic prosperity, but you know, self-defense is not your strong point. So Rashi says, "Shaloisidagu mishnas betzaydes." The betach we speak of over here is not for being invaded by foreign armies. It's not that other countries will try and usurp our land. But v'yishavtem lebetach means there'll be no worries of prosperity. So when you have to worry, especially if your entire economy is driven by agriculture, there's always an anxiety. Who knows if this year is going to be a good rainfall or not a good rainfall? In Canada, we cannot relate to this because in Canada it rains all the time. But in Israel, it doesn't. In Israel, you go through a summer. There's no such thing as a rainy day in the summer. When you had cousins, they couldn't get over this. It's like, isn't it summer here? Every day was a thunderstorm. Then it would get nice, then a thunderstorm. This is how it is here. They said, we never saw anything like this. Because in Israel, when summer comes, summer comes. There's no issues. You don't have to worry about the weather. What's the weather like tomorrow? It's hot, hotter or hottest. That's the weather. It doesn't change. There's no rain in the summer. It's unheard of. But in the Holy Land, there's a different problem. They worry about not having enough rainfall. They worry about the fields, chas v'shalom, not being irrigated because there's no rainfall. And if the fields aren't irrigated, the things don't grow. If things don't grow, then you're in big trouble. This is how famines are able to chas v'shalom, God forbid, unfold. So Rashi says, when he says, yishavtem levetach, the levetach, the secure, you'll dwell securely on your land. The secure here refers to the idea of not having to worry, not having anxiety about your economic reality and the future of the country's prosperity. V'achaltem l'soiva, you'll eat to satiation. Well, I mean, that's not a blessing. V'achaltem l'soiva, if you want to eat to satiation. Or if you don't want to eat to satiation, you want to be hungry, go on a diet. I mean, that's your problem. L'cha'ira, ostensibly, that's not the issue of the Torah of God, of God's promise. That's your choice. You eat as much as you want to eat. I don't care what you eat. So Rashi says, you don't understand. This means, as it says in the Sifra, af besecha ma'ayim tehei be'bracha, that even when you eat it, even when the food's already no longer food, even when the food is already digested, it's still providing you with blessings. What does a blessing mean? We have expectation with, you know, actuarial data. Here's what happened in the past. Here's what's likely to happen in the future. Nobody knows with certainty, but people make investments based on that very data, and they make assumptions based on that data. Does it always work? It doesn't always work. I don't know anybody who goes blindly into investments. Oh, maybe it'll be good. Well, the last 99 times it was a disaster. Oh, maybe this time should be good. Maybe. Huge investment, huge risk. There's usually an enormous payback for taking a risk like that, if you're that lucky. But who says it works out like that? So when we talk about this notion of a bracha, imagine a person would say that no matter what he invested in a way that defies statistics, everything was off the charts. What do we call that person? In the secular sense, we call him lucky. In the Torah sense, in the spiritual sense, we call him blessed. But a bracha, it's a bracha. He's charmed. Everything seems to be with a bracha. So we could talk about really anything from a bracha perspective. We could talk about the person who has herds of animals and less animals die, or a person who raises cattle for beef and the beef is healthy, so we don't have issues of not kosher meat or of what's called a nevela or a trefa. You could have success in commerce. You ship things, your things come intact, there's no robbery, there's no pilfering. I mean, there's endless amount of things that can go wrong. I don't have to give you anxieties. Whatever you do, something could go wrong. Everybody knows that, right? So despite the fact that something could always go wrong, what if it never goes wrong? Well, how would we refer to that? That's like a blessing. That's unbelievable. It's a bracha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, this bracha extends not only to the fruit or the produce as it exists as produce, but even after it's already been chomped up and swallowed, and now it's in your kishkas, it's in your intestines, even then it's providing a bracha. Even then it's satiating, which means a little bit of food satiates a lot. and you just sad, you feel satisfied, you feel happy. So this is the incredible blessing that Hashem promises the Jewish people. Now the Torah says, "V'chisa imru," but lest you're going to say, "Ma noichal," what will we eat? What will we eat? We just say what you're going to eat. You're going to eat lots, or maybe a little. You don't have to eat a lot. "Ma noichal bashana hashviis," what will we eat on the seventh year? "Hein loy nizra v'loy nesef estvo aseinu," we did not plant and we did not gather or harvest our produce. So what are we going to eat? How are we going to be able to sustain ourselves? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vitzivisi es birchasi," I will instruct my blessing lachem, "Bashona hashishis," on the sixth year, "the osos es hatvua l'shloish hashanin," it will provide enough tvua, enough produce for 3 years. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, "V'chiseimru manoichol bashona hashviyis," what will we eat? Says we didn't plant. V'loy nesef. Says Rashi, "Nesef" means el habayis. You're allowed to eat, but has to remain in the field. And as long as the animals, the wild animals, can eat, you can eat in your home. But you cannot store things in your home. You can't bring it home. Estvua seinu. What is the meaning of tevua over here? So usually tevua in Hebrew is a term which is used for the harvest, the raw harvest. Usually it refers actually to cereals, to grain. That's what usually tevua refers to. Tevua, you know, 99 times out of 100 in the Torah always refers to things that are in the five grains. However, Rashi says that's a bit of a redundancy over here, because you already said, "Hein le nizra," you didn't plant. Well, if le nizra, what do you have to say, "Hein le nesef"? So what do you mean, not going to gather? How could you gather wheat if you didn't plant any wheat? How could you gather barley or corn, for that matter, if you don't plant it? What are you going to have? One stalk that grows by accident? Two stalks that grow by accident? You're not going to have anything. What's the chiddush? It's like a novelty, the Torah said. The person says, "What am I going to eat? I didn't plant and I didn't harvest." Of course, what were you going to harvest? Clods of earth? So Rashi says no. So actually, the here tevua doesn't mean grain. Here tevua means kigayin upedas ilan. Here we're referring to the fruit of the vine. And the vine will produce the grapes because you don't have to plant. It's what we call a perennial. It just reproduces every single year. People who have orchards don't have to replant the vine every year. They don't have to replant their pomegranate tree every year. It gives fruit on a yearly basis, on an annual basis. So there's no reason to say that it wouldn't give fruit also when it would come the year of Shemitah. It doesn't matter if you didn't plant. So Rashi says this is called Sfichin. And Sfichin are fruit that grows wild on its own. So that's why Rashi changes. He changes from the literal meaning of tevua, which always means grain. And he says here, tevua does not mean grain. Here, tevua means the fruit that grows on trees, or the produce. And he says yayin also, because yayin is considered to be a produce kind of thing. It was a major part of Israel's gross national project was wine. That was a big deal. So it's not unreasonable to say tevua is referring to yayin. And once we said about yayin, so we refer to the other Pedras artists as well. So Hashem says, "I will make the harvest of the sixth year so incredible, so abundant, that it will work for 3 years." So 1 second, 3 years. Now we have 3 years of Shemitah? I know we have Shemitah, and when it's the 49th year, that's going to be Shemitah, but it's also going to be going into Jubilee. That's 2 years. Why is the Torah talking about 3 years? So Rashi says, the reason we're talking about 3 years is because of the reality that the fruit or the produce that grows, the grain, the cereals that grow in the sixth year, have to be liktsas hashishis for some of the sixth year, because by the time we get to the summer of the sixth year, or any year, what do you think people are eating? They're eating what grew. So people plant, at least in Eretz Yisrael, they plant just as winter's arriving. It dissolves in the earth during the course of the winter. Come spring, it starts to blossom. And then after spring, we reach summer. So Pesach is spring. The growing is fairly swift. In a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, everything is blossoming. Everything is green. Everything blooms. And then we have to start cutting it. But when we cut it, we leave it in the fields usually because we want it to cure. Remember, in Israel, there's no thunderstorms. Everything gets dried out. It's an organic, natural process. And when it finishes being dried out, then we bring it into the home. And this is what we do before the rains come. That's what we do in the quote-unquote fall, in the autumn. And that's what Chag HaSukkot is, the Chag HaAsif. That's the Chag when we bring things into the home. So what's the question here? Well, the question, the point is like this. In any given year, by the time, like what we would call June or July come around, what do you think people are eating? Last year's grain? They're eating this year's grain. Last year's grain, they squirreled stuff away for the winter. But once the winter has come to an end, in the summer, they're eating what just grew now. So you have to have the harvest of the sixth year. It's going to feed everybody on the sixth year, for part of the sixth year. And then it has to satisfy us from Nisan till Rosh Hashanah, from the spring until Rosh Hashanah. And then it has to be Ulish Hashvius. It has to work for the whole seventh year because there's no planting and no harvesting in the seventh year. And then it has to work Ulish Shminius. It has to be able to provide us at the eighth year, because on the eighth year, indeed, we can plant. But he says, in the eighth year, you can plant. You can't do this until, Cheshvan comes around. Time to plant is after the high holidays are over, the month of Cheshvan, beginning of winter. That's when people plant. So you planted. Did you have what to eat? No, you planted. Now you have to wait for it to grow. How does that take? Oh, like 6 months. So what are you eating in the eighth year? In the eighth year, you also don't have any food. You're not having food until the spring of the eighth year shows up. So Rashi says, we're not talking here about the Jubilee. You think we're talking about the Jubilee? Did you mention anything about Jubilee over there? Did you say anything about Jubilee? Well, we talked about a Shemitah at this point. And the Torah emphasizes, V'chisem ruman neichel. What are we going to eat if there's a Shemitah? How will we survive if there's going to be a sabbatical? That's going to cause economic collapse in the country. It's going to cause famine. Nobody's going to have what to eat. Because the grain of the sixth year usually provides us with 1 year's worth of supply. Usually it gives us food to eat during the spring of that year and the winter of the next year. And then comes a new spring, a new crop, and that provides us with new food. But here we have this impossible situation. So Hashem's answer is, everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be just fine. Why is it going to be just fine? Because the reality is that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'tzivisi es brachosi, I will send my blessing. And if I send my blessing, the sixth year's crop is going to be so remarkable, it's going to provide for us entirely, so to speak, across the boards. Now, V'chisayim ruman neichel, this refers to, according to the Rabbeinu Bechaye, it says, loy nizra v'loy nesef. So Rashi had his way of responding to that question. Rashi's way of responding was, loy nizra v'loy nesef. It's talking about two different things. Loy nizra talks about the grains that weren't planted. Loy nesef talks about the trees, the orchards, the vine, the wine that doesn't have to be planted. So according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, loy nizra refers to the seventh year. Nothing was planted. But loy nesef refers actually to what will we eat on the eighth year, because we didn't plant in the seventh year, and then we didn't harvest. When the eighth year came around, we had nothing to bring into the homes. Why? Because there was nothing in the field. But according to Rashi, that's impossible to say, because that's a no-brainer. Of course you're not going to harvest what you don't have. How could you harvest what you don't have? That doesn't make any sense. You don't have any grain, you don't have any harvest. And therefore Rashi introduces us to the idea of svichit, the other things that grow wild, which usually is the concept of trees. The Kliyakar says something very interesting. He says, when a person has very little food, what do we naturally start to do? What's the most natural reaction to scarcity? You ration. We ration things, because I don't know if I'm going to have enough. So because I'm worried, I don't know if I'm going to have enough, I start penny pinching. I start watching, so to speak, I watch the dollar. I'm watching every little drop of food to make sure that things work out. So because of this, says the Kliyakar, a person will be worried already in the sixth year he's not eating like a mensch. Why is he not eating like a mensch? Because he's thinking about the next year. He's next year not going to have what to eat. So he feels the pinch of Shemitah already in the sixth year. It's like people start to worry on Sunday that they have to go back to work on Monday. By Sunday, like late afternoon already, their weekend is over. Why? Because they're going back to work soon. Friday morning, they're in a good mood because soon they're going on vacation. Why wouldn't they just be happy when they go on vacation and be whatever when they go back to work? No, because that's human nature. Human natures are always projecting. We're always living in the next frame. On Friday, the guy's happy because he's going to be free. On Sunday, he's unhappy because he's going to be going back to work. Why don't you deal with Dailuch Tzara B'Shaita? Deal with each thing. Comes Monday morning. You are Monday morning. Monday morning. No. That's not human nature. So human nature is such that if we see ominous things on the horizon, it robs us of our security now. And according to the Kli Yakar, that's the idea of the Shalosh Shanim. Even the sixth year wouldn't be a good year for us already. Even the sixth year, we wouldn't be eating comfortably. We would be worried. We'd be nervous. Well, the storage facilities, presumably, what are you going to last for the third and fourth year? You're going to be eating on the eighth year, three, four, 5 years later? God said he'll provide. So when does God say he'll provide? God says he'll provide, that the sixth year will produce extraordinary results. The Kli Yakar is just trying to explain the idea of Shalosh Shanim. And then Rishonim discussed this back and forth. We're going to stick with Rashi's interpretation. The simplest way of understanding it is, this harvest has got to feed mouths for 3 years. Rashi says it doesn't mean 3 full years. It means part of the sixth, all the seventh, part of the eighth. There are different ways of understanding it. But that's how Rashi explains it. According to the Chizkuni, we're talking here about the Jubilee year. Chizkuni says 3 years. So 3 years is going to be, full 3 years will be the beginning of the sixth, the end of the sixth. And then the whole seventh, and then the whole eighth, and then the beginning of the ninth, which is actually 3 years. Mamash 3 years. 3 full years. That's 3 full years of 12 months. But according to Rashi, it doesn't have to be 3 full years. Parts of each year is enough for us to talk about 3 years. All right? We're good? Let's go to the Biurim book. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. What's his question? His question is, why didn't you ask this question earlier? Why now? The Torah already told us about Shemitah. The Torah already told us about Yovel. If the Chizkuni is right, that the Tzavisi is Bechasi, L'Sholosh Shanim, is because 2 years of Shemitah? I mean, 3 years? So why don't we ask this when we talked about the Jubilee? And even from Rashi saying that it's not talking about the Jubilee, it's talking about the regular Shemitah. So as soon as you mention Shemitah, should right away. Bechisem Yom HaNeichel. Page Shin Ayin Hey. Yesh lahakshay simin yud beis. We could ask, Madua mayfiyah hasha'ayla. Why does the question come, Ma noichal, b'shana hashviyas, what will we eat in the sabbatical year? And then we have atshuva, we have the answer, the response, v'tzivisi es b'chasi lachem, b'shana hashishis, I will give you this incredible amount of blessing in the sixth year. Why does it come rakan? I finished speaking about all the years of the Shemitah. And I finished talking about the ideas of the Jubilee also. And then there are other psukim that deal with other things. Deal with integrity and honesty and business. It's all interrelated. But I'm not even talking about agriculture anymore. I'm not even talking about the sabbatical year. I already finished talking about the sabbatical year. And then I come back. Oh, by the way, what are we going to eat? How are we going to be able to survive? How are we going to stop working for a year? And then what will we feed our families? Why don't you ask that question right away? Why does that question only show up some 20 verses into the pasuk, into the parsha? After 2 readings of a normal year. 2 readings later, all of a sudden, in the 3rd reading, we come up with the question, oh, by the way, what are we going to eat? Or what if people will ask? And what if people will be worried? And what if they'll have anxiety? Oh, they'll have anxiety if it's Yisrael Berchasi, I'll command my blessing. Understand the question? It's a question. It's a very strong question. So the explanation is like this. The Loshen HaKosov, from the language that the Torah uses, V'chi soimru, not V'im toimru. V'im means if. V'chi means when. It's not if, it's when. Mashma, it seems, Shakavana, Eini Leimar Shekayim Chshash. The Torah is not telling you a what if. I translated wrong before. It's not a what if. Everybody translates what if. But really, it's not a what if. It's on the contrary. It's as if the Torah is saying, this question will be asked. Here's the question that he will ask. How do you know he'll ask the question? Let me ask you a question. To question God is a sign of faith or lack of faith? A lack of faith. So how do you know they're not going to have faith? If they have faith, will they question? No. So how could the Torah, why did the Torah have such a dim view of us? We're never going to have faith? We're for sure going to question? Hashem gave us a mitzvah, we did a mitzvah. Why would the Torah say v'chi? V'chi means when. Say v'im. There's going to be some Jews that make trouble. There's going to be some Jews who will live without faith. And they're going to question. So interestingly, when it comes to the notion of children who are going to ask us, what are you doing with this whole Passover thing? The Torah does tell us v'chi. V'chi yishalcha bincha. But guess what? Because there's always going to be Jews who are angry and agnostic. There's always going to be asking Jews, but they're just a minority. They're just some Jews. Here we're saying like, it's the whole nation asks. The whole nation, we're not going to have faith? Mikach Yeshluma, the Rebbe suggests something, an incredible chiddush over here. That this is all, it's not being understood right. The Torah is not saying an if, but rather the Rebbe suggests the Torah is saying a when. And the Kavonas HaKosov Einoy L'Sha'aylo She'yesh Bo Mishum Sveikus. This is not a query that comes out of doubt. B'yachas L'Efshodis L'Kayim Es Mitzvah Shemitah. How could we do the mitzvah? How could I do that mitzvah? I want to have what to eat. Or in a microcosm, how could I keep Shabbos? I'm going to go hungry. That comes out of lack of faith. It doesn't come from faith. It's not a sign. This Yid is such a big maimon. He believes in the Eibishter so strong that he's worried about keeping Shabbos. How's he going to make a living? If he believes in Hashem, you believe Hashem is on him before us. Do you believe it's a blessing from Hashem? If it's a blessing from Hashem, blessing will come anyway. If it's not a blessing from Hashem, so like, what are you praying for? What are you doing all this for? Either God's in control or he's not in control. And if God is in control and he told you to keep Shemitah or Shabbos, then he told you to keep Shemitah or Shabbos. What's the question? So when somebody asks that question, it's coming out of a weakness in faith, not out of strength. It doesn't make any sense to say the Jewish people will be in such a low ebb of spirituality. The people will all doubt whether or not. Moshe, you sure you heard right? Come on. God, that's unreasonable. You're being ridiculous now. How could God say such a thing? Really? We expect every Jew to say that? Nobody's going to have any faith. There's never been generations in which there was incredible emunah, amazing faith in the face of adversity or challenge or difficulty. I'm like, what? Is this no?
Can't you question to learn?
Oh. Oh, very good, David. You can question to learn. That's exactly the point. The Rebbe says this question is not a question out of lack of faith. This is not a question that comes from doubt. This is a question that comes from a desire to know more. I want to know more. I know it's going to work out. I'm just really curious how it's going to work out. How is God going to do this? That's another story. And that's the Rebbe's chiddush here. The Rebbe has an amazing new way of looking at these verses. He says these verses have to be understood not as a if, which everybody typically understands as a lack of faith. That's how we learn, that's the assumption. Read it easily. Don't read it easily. Don't read it organically. What's going to be? Read it as maybe, or not maybe, but the Jewish people want to know more. They're going to be asking to learn. Because we ask questions out of, I don't know, I'm in doubt. Or because I want to learn. I want to understand. If it's because, that's called in Hebrew, it's called not a sha'ila out of Suffolk. It's called a sha'ila iyunis. That's called a sha'ila from iyun. Iyun means to delve deeply into something. It's a shaila iyunis bavad. In other words, there's no question. God is not taking a dim view of us and saying, the Jewish people, they're never going to have faith. They're never going to listen to me. But they will ask. That you're for sure of. We'll ask. We always ask. We're always going to ask. So even if some of your children will not be a Ben Arusha, it won't be the wicked son, or the wicked child, it won't be the dumb child, it won't be the lost child, it'll be the wise child, they're still going to ask. Oh, they'll ask questions. Of course you are. You're supposed to ask questions. Not because you doubt God, but because you want to learn. The question depends on what's the motivation of the question. Why am I asking the question? Once you put this new frame in place, now you'll understand why the question appears here and not earlier. If this was a question asked out of doubt, could this mitzvah be done? So then what should have been? Then we should have answered the question. The question should have been asked right away. God comes along and says, seventh year, you're not going to work. What? What are we going to eat? That's where the question could have come. However, we're not talking about that kind of question. Since we're talking about a kaila iyunis, a question that's asked out of a quest and desire to learn, to know more. So it's not coming as a continuation of the laws of Shemitah. God said Shemitah, fine, no Shemitah. It's not even coming as a continuation of the idea of the Jubilee. What's it coming out of? It says in the Pasuk, V'nasna ha'aretz pirya, the earth is going to give its produce. V'chaltim l'seiva, you're going to eat and be satiated. V'yishavtim l'vetachale, and you're going to be dwell securely. And Rashi explained to us that the security is referring to not national defense, but rather economic security. Then you're not going to be rationing. You're going to be eating comfortably. Comes a question. How's that happening? A Yid says, look, I'm ready for Mesiras Nefesh. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'll tighten my belt. We'll drink water. We'll forage for some food. Whatever. I'll get by. But you just told me that Israel is going to be a land that's booming. Amazing prosperity. Amazing prosperity. How's that possible? How do you have an economy where it grinds to a halt every 7 years? It's going to kill the economy. The economy is going to start and sputter and start and sputter. After the pasuk comes along and says, Hashem promises, the earth will give its land and everything will be, you'll eat, you'll be sated. In other words, nobody promised you wealth. So it says, how will I be wealthy? Maybe you won't be. How will I be satisfied? Who said be satisfied? Who says? You'll survive. We're survivors. You get by. But here the Torah said you're not going to be survivors. Here the Torah came along and said in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be a triumph, not a survival nation, a triumph nation. You'll be a comfortable nation. Really? How's that going to work? Understand the question? It's a totally different question now. It's not a question of how can we do this mitzvah. It's a question of how will we experience those blessings. So after Hashem promised those blessings, and the answer is v'tzivisi es berchasi, Hashem says the answer is there'll be extraordinary success. You'll see that produce of the sixth year will be so incredible, so large, so bountiful, so plentiful, that will actually take care of you for that year, for the next year, and the one that follows until there's a new harvest that's ready to cut.